Today on Brave, a brand new lesson from Jeff Swarzentraub.
Worship is a lot like a sponge. Picture your heart and the inside of your life like a sponge. The more you worship, the more the eternal life and the water of God will fill that thing up. The less you worship, the more that thing will dry up. And many of us, when it comes to our life, and we wonder, how come my kids aren't working? How come my marriage isn't working? How come my finances aren't working? How come this isn't working? And we go to wring out that sponge. We got nothing to wring out because we haven't spent any time worshiping.
Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Swarzentraub, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. John F. Kennedy once said, "Ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country." It was a profound moment, calling the nation to make a fundamental shift in our expectations regarding patriotism and service. And today on Brave, we're learning why we may need a similar shift in expectations when it comes to serving and worshiping God. Pastor Jeff will be examining the heart of real worship. In the Gospel of John, we read about a powerful encounter between Jesus and the woman at the well. As this woman began to realize just who he was, she asked Jesus where she should go to worship properly. And Jesus gave her a life-altering answer. Now, here's Pastor Jeff with part two of the message, Religious to Relishing.
Worship is not a geography, it's not a place, it's not a ritual, it's not a routine. Worship is all about a person. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ and giving adoration to him. Now, you may ask yourself, well, how do I know if I'm a worshiper of God? Let me tell you what worship is. We're going to talk about 4 points this morning. And the first is this: worship is giving adoration to God for the good news of your salvation. We could stop at worship is giving adoration to God. That's what worship is. Worship is when, in my heart, from the inside out, I am giving God praise, glory, honor, adoration, because he is worthy of all my praise. He's worthy of it all. That's what worship is. And it starts when someone is saved. Non-believers cannot worship God. Non-believers do not worship God. You can go through rituals and routine. You can do it fervently and passionately and still not be a worshiper of God. A worshiper of God is one who gives praise directly to God. They're not just singing about God. They're singing to God. They're talking to God. They're telling God that he's worthy. That's why all over the Bible you see, clap your hands, all ye people. Raise your hands. Shout to the Lord. Sing a new song. God gives us depictions, what we feel in our heart, how we can express it outwardly, and what that looks like in our lives. And this is what Jesus is trying to get the woman to see. Notice what he says in verse 21. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews." He's telling her this. You have the God-man of the universe telling her, what I'm looking for is people that are going to worship me. An hour is coming, and it's really soon. As a matter of fact, it's right now, where people won't worship on this mountain. They're not going to worship in Jerusalem. They're going to worship me everywhere that they gather. And any time that a person who is dead in their trespasses and sins surrenders their life to the Lord Jesus Christ, the very next step is to give God praise for all that he is and all that he's doing. Worship is simply this. It's giving God glory for all that he is, all that he's done, all that he's doing, and all that he's ever going to do. Like, God is so awesome that he's worthy of being worshiped. And when we see who he is and we get to know who he is, and the more you grow in who he is, you can't help but want to worship that God. We just have too small of a view of God. And so we turn worship into a religion where I like this song, I don't like that song, I like this style, I don't like this style. Worship is not a style. It's an allegiance. It's an inward praise that goes to who he is. And if you have a small view of God, your worship will be small. If you have a big view of God, your worship will be big. I mean, just think about this. Have you ever been driving down the road at a certain time of day where the sun's about ready to set or the sun's about ready to rise, and it hits your eyes while you're driving, and it's almost blinding? And that sun is so powerful that 93 million miles away from you, it can cause you to do this and put your visor down. And you know how far it is? You know how far 93 million miles is? You can check my math on this. If you got in your car and drove 70 miles an hour today when you left church, it would take you over 150 years to get there. And that's just a little thing God made. I mean, that's nothing. You start looking at all the galaxies out there and all the worlds out there and all the things that we don't even know out there. And our God made all that. That's how glorious he is. We have the wrong view of worship. I mean, someone was like, so in heaven, all we're going to do is like worship. Like we're just going to sit around like in a church and sing K-Love songs. And that's like it. I mean, I don't know that I'm looking forward to that. No, it's going to be like this. It's going to be like what happened to Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6 when he saw the glory of the Lord and his train filled the temple and he saw cherubim and seraphim and all these angelic beings worshiping the Lord and crying out, holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. The heaven and earth are filled with your glory. And he was so enthralled. I mean, it was the most majestic display of anything he'd ever seen. And he was falling on his face and said, I'm ruined. I'm a sinner. How can I even see this thing? I'm a man of unclean lips. I come from a people of unclean lips. And so one of the cherubim came down and touched his lips, cleansed him. So that's the power of the gospel. If we really knew the glory of God, and the more you grow in the glory of God, the more you will give him worship. When we gather as a church, we gather to give him worship. Like, that's who we are. Now, unfortunately, because the sun's so powerful, like, we have to take measures to protect ourselves from the sun. I mean, recently I was on vacation, and when we're on vacation, I mean, you put this stuff, this lotion on your skin called what? Sunscreen. And you put that on so that the penetrating rays of the sun can't get too deep and cause a problem, because the sun is so strong that left to yourself, you would burn up. Unfortunately, some of us come into church with sunscreen on. Screen from Jesus Christ. I'm not going to give you worship. I'm not going to give you praise. I'm going to stand there. I'm going to sit there. If you got something good for me, just let me know about it. But I'm not coming to give you anything. See, a lot of us think church is like a restaurant. I mean, we're so accustomed to going to a restaurant where people serve us. They wait on us. Another way to say that is they minister to us. So it's their job to lead us to a table. It's their job to seat us. It's their job to greet us. It's their job to ask us, what would you like to drink? It's their job to bring the menu and explain it. It's their job to cook the food. Their job to bring it on time. It's their job to do it. And the tip is our response to what they do to us. And sometimes some of us come into church and we think God's the server. God, what do you have for me? Are you going to give me a good word today? Do you have good children's ministry? What am I going to get out of this? I hope it's good. I hope it helps my life. I hope it helps me. And if it's good, you know, God, I'll give you a tip. Maybe I'll throw some change in the offering plate. We got it reversed. You're the servant. You're the minister. You're coming to bring God your best for all that he's been doing in your life. You're coming to clap. You're coming to sing. You're coming to praise. You're coming to give him adoration. The response of God oftentimes during worship, when you sense his presence among us, is his tip, like, yeah, I see what you're doing, and I'm so thrilled with who you are. We get it backwards. We're supposed to come and give God everything we have. The guy at our Saturday night service last week that came in and told me afterwards, this is the first religious service I'd ever been to in my life. And he said, it was weird. It was like the coolest energy I've ever felt. And I told him, it might have felt like cool energy, but that's the Holy Spirit of God telling you that Jesus Christ is Lord and he wants a relationship with you. He came back last night with four different friends, right? Because he can't help but want more of what he's experiencing. So we're walking through the gospel together so he can understand the truth of God's word. We're called to be worshipers of God. We're called to give him praise. Many of us will even travel around to other worship venues so that we don't have to worship, but we can experience others' worship, and then we can feel it, right? God's calling you individually to be a worshiper of him. Jesus is talking to the Samaritan woman saying, I want you to worship me with everything you have. I want you to be the one who brings that to me, right? And I'll tell you something else about worship. Worship is a lot like a sponge. Picture your heart and the inside of your life like a sponge. The more you worship, the more the eternal life and the water of God will fill that thing up. The less you worship, the more that thing will dry up. And many of us, when it comes to our life, when we wonder, how come my kids aren't working? How come my marriage isn't working? How come my finances aren't working? How come this isn't working? And we go to wring out that sponge. We got nothing to wring out because we haven't spent any time worshiping. After you're surrendered to Christ, the most important thing in your life is to become a worshiper of God. Now, I want to ask by show of hands on either campus today, but you know in your own heart, some of you are here today who are believers, who have surrendered your life to Christ, but yet you struggle with the exact same sin that you've struggled with for the last 5 weeks, 5 months, 5 years, and it ain't going away. And you've read your Bible, and you prayed, and you've sought counsel. Here's my question. Have you ever worshiped God and started praising him before he takes it away that he's going to take it away? Become a worshiper, because it's hard to continue a pattern of sin while at the same time giving Jesus Christ all glory, honor, and praise. Married folk, when's the last time you and your spouse sang hymns of praise to God, read the Bible, praised God with your voice, told him how awesome he was, and what a blessing it was to have each other in your life? When was the last time? Well, we don't want that. I just want to get some counseling. I mean, we want human beings to solve what only God can do. It's always while we're ministering and giving God our best that God delights in giving answers. You ever read the New Testament? And while they were ministering to the Lord, God set aside Paul and Silas to go out. What were they doing? They're praising God. They're glorifying him. They're not having a strategic meeting about who needs to go be a missionary. They're praising God. They're glorifying him. And during the prayer and praise, God's saying, take these two men and go. And everybody's like, yeah, go, go, go. It's always while you're ministering. Some of you came here today to get answers to life's problems. I'm giving you the answer. Start worshiping. It's while you worship that God will do it. Now, some of us are like, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. I am not doing that. It's a little embarrassing. I was one of those people. Just being honest. I'm being candid. I mean, for me, when I would go into environments, worship felt very effeminate to me as a man. I'm being honest. And I'd see women that'd be like, oh, praise you, God. So awesome. And I'd be like, that ain't me. Right, that ain't me. It doesn't feel right. It feels against the grain. So I don't want to really worship. And I'm not really good in music, so it's not really my thing. And so I remember when I was being trained to be a youth director for a church, and they were teaching us how to lead choruses. And this is back in the day, like, Lord, I lift your name on high and humble thyself in the sight of the Lord. And some of you my age know all these choruses. I remember thinking, hey, when I get to the church I'm going to, I'll find somebody to play guitar because I'm never doing that. And my tagline when I went into ministry to all my friends that I went to college with, when they would ask me, like, what are you doing now? You're like leaving all your money and your career to go do what? And I said, well, I'm going to go tell young people about Jesus Christ and grow their faith. And then I would add this tagline, but don't worry, I'm not going to be one of those geeky youth directors that sits around and plays guitar on the weekends. That's what I said to everybody. Geeky was a word we used back in the day. And so I'll never forget getting to my church. We decided to do the Saturday night service for all the kids in the area. Guess how many people play guitar? Guess how many people could lead worship? Zero. But as I prayed, God said, I want you to lead worship. I'm like, I ain't doing that. I remember the first time I started learning guitar. I know about five chords. I can play okay. I can sing okay, but I'm not great. I remember playing Humble Thyself in the Sight of the Lord. E minor and D, two different chords. I'm singing Humble Thyself in the Sight of the Lord. And then the girls would echo and all that stuff. But in my mind, here's what I'm saying. You are a sissy in the sight of the Lord. I mean, it was awkward, right? But God grew my worship to a place where I got to understand the vastness of God. We're now to clap to him, to raise my hands, because I picture Jesus Christ as being here alive on his throne. And if he was, how would I want to respond to him? That's worship. And Jesus is telling this woman, believe me now, woman, I'm telling you, an hour isn't coming, and it's right now when people won't worship in this mountain or that mountain. They're not gonna worry about what denomination they are, because it doesn't matter, because there's no denominations in heaven. There's no Brave Church in heaven. Don't look for the Brave Church sign. You won't find it when you get there. There's the church of Jesus Christ, with a bunch of people that are going to be worshiping God from every tribe, tongue, and nation. And when you see his glory from the inside out, you can't help but worship him. Everyone will worship him. Some of the people that you see in church that are very casual in their worship, you might see them doing cartwheels somewhere or jumping up and down because of what's going on the inside, because they can't take it when they get to heaven. The good news is God doesn't say, wait till you get to heaven, then you can worship me. He says, do it now. Do it everywhere you are. Give me your greatest allegiance. Give me your greatest praise when you're driving down the highway, when you're in the shower. And collectively, when we come together as a church, we worship God with our best, because there's something powerful when God looks down from heaven with all the angels and demons to see what's this group of people that God created actually going to do. And the praises start going up and God's glory starts surrounding us and we start experiencing it together, where even in that midst, we're like, that was the best service I've ever been a part of. was so great. It was so awesome. Did you sense God among us? That's what worship does. That's why we're called to worship, right? That's what it's all about. Now, here's what it looks like. If we're really going to minister to him, it's not about what we minister to each other. It's about what we're ministering vertically. I was listening to a Tony Evans message this week, and Tony said, church has become a place to minister to people who don't want to minister to God. In other words, church has become a place where we want to help you get on with your problems, but you don't want to worship God. That's not the place that God seeks. Church is a place for us to come together to minister to God. It's the place to grow our leadership. Now, worship isn't just in the walls of the church, right? I mean, 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do it all for the glory of God. Romans 12, verse 1 tells us, Therefore, my brothers, in view of God's mercy, I ask you to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Well, it's a living sacrifice. All sacrifices are dead. There's no such thing as a living sacrifice unless we're talking Christianity, because if you've died to yourself and Christ has come in you, you're dead, but now you're alive. You're a living sacrifice. The more you learn to worship outside there, the more fervent your worship will be here. The more fervent your worship is, the more fervent it will be outside. It continues to tag team. And if you are a worshiper, you will crave it. When we were on vacation, the first 2 weeks we were there, we didn't have a car. We couldn't go to church. And on week three, I was telling Kim all week, we got to go to church. We got to go to church. I got to be around other believers. I got to worship. And we found a church online. I'm like, I don't care if it's that great. I don't care how good the worship is. It doesn't matter to me. They love God. They're going to preach from the Bible. Let's go. It was refreshing just to be with other saints. Not everybody raised their hands. We raised our hands. That's how we worship. I don't care what other people think. I want to bring God what he deserves, because he deserves my best at all times. If you can walk into a worship service and sit on your hands always and say, it really doesn't matter, I hope I get something out of this, you're not a worshiper of God. And one of the reasons you're not experiencing the joy of your salvation is that you're not a worshiper. Jesus wants you to be a worshiper of him. It means authentically, from the inside out, however you would like to worship, you worship. Want to raise your hands? Raise your hands. You want to clap? Clap. You want to shout? Shout. You want to whistle? Whistle. Do it genuinely, right? No fake, but genuine, however you want. Worship is giving God adoration for the good news of his son, Jesus Christ, and our salvation. Secondly, it's this. Worship is giving adoration with great fervency and intensity. With great fervency and intensity. After he tells her, you don't know what you're worshiping, just like a lot of people in our culture, they don't know what they're worshiping. They're just going through the motions. Jesus said, but an hour is coming and now is. It's right now when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You will never see God the Father when you die. God is spirit, right? Jesus Christ is God's eternal son. That's who you'll see. Holy Spirit, spirit. What makes God transcendent is that the Godhead came in the person of Jesus Christ. That's who you're going to see, right? God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And the spirit here is talking about the internal fervency and passion with which you worship. This is the kind of worshipers that the Father seeks. You see, you ask me, Pastor Jeff, are we a seeker church? I would say, yeah, it depends on how you define it. Yeah, we're a seeker church. We're trying to be the kind of church that the Father would seek. We're trying to be the kind of church that God would look down from heaven and said, that's what I'm talking about. These people worship me with fervency and they worship me in truth. And it says, this is how you what? Must worship him. Anyone who wants to follow after Jesus must take up his cross, deny himself, and follow me. Notice what he says in this verse. He says this, but an hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him, there's the word, must worship in spirit and truth. This is how God demands our worship, spirit and truth. Well, Jeff, it's just hard, you know, I mean, to have fervency. Like, what's that? What do you mean by fervency? What's it mean? Let me tell you. Right now, all across our country, there are cathedrals that are beginning opening. They're starting preview services. The National Football League calls it the preseason. There are huge cathedrals where people will go and give allegiance and worship and praise with everything they have on any given Sunday. It even happens here in Denver. And the allegiance is so strong that it's not like, hey, what time does it start? What time does it end? Is it longer than an hour? No, that's not what people say. They go to these events. You got to understand. If kickoff for this cathedral starts at 1:20, people get up at 8 in the morning. and they begin to get dressed, and they begin to listen to sports talk radio to talk about the worship they're about ready to experience. Then they dress in clothes that are appropriate for where they're going to go worship. Rain, shine, sleet, snow, we're there. It don't matter. It's on the calendar. It's worship. And then they get in their car, and most people don't live right across from the stadium, so they drive miles and miles. Some people 30, 40, 50 minutes. Some people from out of state come. They pay exorbitant amounts for their tickets to get to this event. Do they arrive right at kickoff time? Oh, heck no. They get there a couple, 3 hours early, because when you get there, then you got to set up a stage so you can cook food so that you can be physically prepared for the worship that you're about ready to experience. And then most people don't get to park right next to the stadium, so you get to walk an entire mile. And if you can't afford to walk, you can pay somebody to cab you there. And you get all the way there. And when you walk in, you start high-fiving other people that share your same allegiance, because there's such intensity and there's such program about what's ready to happen. And when the team comes on the field, people cheer and they shout and they go mad. Oftentimes, this event will go into what's called overtime, which is extra worship. And during this time, nobody leaves the stadium. They stay till the very bitter end. And then when the game ends, guess what they do? They have to walk the mile back to their car to get in their car to walk to drive the 30 minutes back to where they were. And if they're real worshipers, then they listen to sports talk radio all the way home to figure out what really took place on the field. And if they're true worshipers, they get home and watch the NFL Network and ESPN to see what other pundits are saying about the worship that they had. But that's not enough, because on Monday they form small groups at work and they get together and talk about the worship service that they just experienced and where worship's going to take place next week and if they're able to get to that cathedral and worship again. Right? Now, if you can worship like that for a group of people that can do absolutely nothing for you, what can you bring to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who has saved your life, giving you all eternity, and honor him? He's worthy. And if you study this game of football, you'll understand it's 4 15-minute quarters, but the only amount of action that takes place on the field is about 17 or 18 minutes. People will give their life for that. Now, I confess I enjoy going to games, and I confess I enjoy doing that, but that's my worship. My allegiance is to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you bring God more allegiance than you do for that? That's what it means to worship in spirit. That's what it means to give God your allegiance. Like when we read things in the Bible, like clap your hands and sing to the Lord and all these different things, we sometimes say, well, I don't know. God wants you to bring whatever you have from the inside out that's authentic.
It's true. Authentic worship is the only worship that pleases God. You're listening to Brave with Jeff Schwarzentraub. Today's message is titled Religious to Relishing, and you can revisit this lesson anytime at our website, bravemedia.online. Right now, we're in a series called Discipleship, learning what it means to be true disciples of Jesus Christ. One major part of every believer's relationship with God is worship. Today, Pastor Jeff confronted a common misconception about the way we praise. It's not the instruments we use or the places we gather that matter. Our Heavenly Father looks at the heart behind our worship, giving us the freedom to approach God without shame or restrictions, knowing that He delights in whatever authentic praise we bring Him. As we continue doing our best to share the life-changing truth of God's Word with new listeners every week, we invite you to join us in our mission. Here at Brave, we're dedicated to saving, maturing, and multiplying disciples of Jesus Christ. And you can be part of this growing movement by supporting Brave with a donation of any amount. It's your generous giving that helps us take the gospel to new communities across the nation. Join us by donating today. Head to bravemedia.online and click the Donate tab. Or call us at 360-552-7283. That's 360-552-7283. You can also send a check in the mail right to us at Brave Church, 3651 South Colorado Boulevard, Englewood, Colorado 80113. And as we close, just want to invite you to join us for weekend worship services here at Brave Church. If you're in the Denver metro area, we'd love to meet you in person at any of our three campuses, Englewood, Westminster, and Colorado Springs. And no matter where you're listening from, you can always participate through our live stream. Visit bravemedia.online, scroll to the bottom of the page, and click the Brave Church link for details and directions. I'm your host, Bill Carl. Join us tomorrow as Pastor Jeff completes the message, Religious to Relishing. That's next time, here on Brave with Jeff Schwarzentraub. Today's program was produced and furnished by Brave Church in Denver, Colorado.